Drug Dealers Dreams Podcast.
If you're tuning in to gossip,
tune out.
Drug Dealers Dream. A drug dealer's dreams. Yeah, some of y'all still out here dreaming, man. Gonna turn this shit to a reality. Know what I mean? We out there getting to it. Our niggas just getting in the way, man. Facts. 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 Drug Dealer's Dream, Season 3.
Another episode. I'm G.
Benny.
We got a special guest.
Plug Lawyer in the building.
Plug Lawyer in the building.
It's been a long time coming. It's good to sit down with you.
The Plug Lawyer, let's give a proper introduction. Tiffany Simmons.
Undefeated.
We haven't had a lawyer on the show yet.
No.
Oh,
wow.
And I'm
the first to do a lot of shit. So
definitely. We're going to get into that. And with a drug dealer dream, we have every aspect of culture, life. We always try to give game, so... that's what we're doing now.
You know what I mean? Some questions answered.
Questions answered. A lot of stuff y'all don't know. Y'all claim to be in the street or what have you, and you still don't know what to do at a traffic stop. You know what I'm saying? So we gonna talk about it, but ain't nothing to be ashamed of. We come to rap. You know what I mean? So thank you for being a guest. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And letting us into your home office.
Yeah. I mean, you got to pull up to my track where I feel safe, you know, home.
Yeah. Okay, so originally, Ms. Plug, where are you from?
I was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan, home of Floyd Mayweather, home of Marvin Sapp, home of the Barge family. I mean, we create winners.
Okay.
Okay.
I ain't know that.
So, yeah, I was born
only
there.
Only Floyd Mayweather, that's all I know.
I'm not mad at the Barge family.
I'm not mad at the Barge. They got high, but they were talented.
Oh, yeah, very talented. So, yeah, I grew up Midwest, and I left home at 17, went to FAMU undergrad. Now, I used to come to Atlanta when I was a kid, so this was like second home for me. And so after graduating FAMU, I did not want to go back to Michigan because... To be honest, it wasn't anything there for me. A lot of people I knew, besides my family, of course, but a lot of people I knew were, you know, dead and going to jail. So Atlanta was second home, and I made this home.
Did you know you wanted to be a lawyer, or you just were going to school?
Nah, shit. You can't waste that lawyer money. Law school is expensive.
No, I mean, so you went to FAMU knowing you was going to, that's what you wanted to
do. Oh, no. See, I knew... Since I was 5, I was going to be a lawyer.
Okay.
But by the time I got to FAMU, I was doing street shit and I was going to school. I graduated on time, School of Business and Industry. Shout out to FAMU. But no, I wasn't focused on the law at that time. I was just really pretty much living life outside of my family's shadow.
Your family was somewhat successful?
Well, my family was known in Grand Rapids because they were in the hair industry. So, you know, the barbershops, the beauty shops. Everybody knew my mom, my granny, my uncle, my cousins, you know. So,
no doubt.
So I wanted to kind of get out of that shadow. I mean, everything that I had going on, of course, it was talked about or they running, telling your mama and this and that. And, you know, I knew I was different than my family.
When you say at 5 you knew you was gonna be a lawyer, what happened? What transpired to give you that kind of insight at that age?
Good question. Well, when I was around that age, I was molested by a family member. And when that incident happened, when our family kind of got together to talk about it, I felt like I was on trial and not the person that did that. So I believe that was like the catalyst for me wanting to speak out for other people who couldn't speak for themselves. And I just knew, you know, from that age, actually one of my uncle's girlfriends later in life, she was like, I remember you was like 5, 6 years old, said you was going to be a lawyer. So, you know, I thank God that I continued. And then to kind of progress past that, I was like 15, 16. I was doing a lot of stuff in entertainment myself. I was doing commercials, I was doing theater, like my mom had me in a lot of different things. And I knew that I wanted to know the business side of entertainment because I saw so many of us getting in entertainment, but you looking, you broke, you going bankrupt, your money ain't right. You know, you don't have the advisors around you. So at a young age, I mean, I always was around business. My grandmother owned 3 successful hair salons without even having high school education. She didn't get her GED till she was 45. So,
I want to talk about that later in the episode.
Okay, we can get to that. So for me, business, entrepreneurship, like my dad's dad, he had a grocery store, Simmons and Son. So that's like kind of in my blood. So anyway, to kind of, you know, wrap it up is I knew that I wanted to do behind the scenes as well as in front of the scenes. And I knew I could get there because I was smart. I always been smart.
I definitely don't want to brush over the molestation part. If we could talk a little bit.
We can.
I mean, I don't have no idea. You know what it is? Because it's so much happened with the R. Kelly. There's a lot of stuff going on, right? It's like, you always hear about stuff like that, but you never witness it, right? We haven't been a part of that. But that is something that happens all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And a lot of people, like, we like to educate on our show. When you hear rape or molestation is with a family member, is that correct? Is it just with an adult? I'm not sure.
It's different terms. For me, I say molestation because it didn't, like,
it's not
to
rape.
Be graphic, my hymen wasn't torn, which means that person didn't bust my chest.
They just touched on you.
Stuff that no child should experience. You know, I don't mind talking about it, and I say that because my life could have went totally left. I could have been somewhere, you know, definitely strung out on drugs, definitely somewhere with 5, 6, 7 kids, you know, just not doing anything positive in my life. And I thank God for my story because, like I said, when people look at me, first of all, they damn for sure don't see lawyer. But when I tell them, you know, I'm a lawyer or kind of share some of my story, that inspires a lot of other people. So, you know, I don't shy away from really sharing that because of the fact that it's so many people in my shoes. It's not the man with an ice cream truck saying, come get some ice cream and blah, blah, blah. Right. It's your uncles. It's the daddies. It's the brothers. Or it's even mamas. A lot of situations, it's a lot of situations where it is people that you trust and people that you love, and that shit fucks with you. It's something that affects your everyday life. Like I even that situation that has affected even relationships that I had, male and female relationships. It tears apart family. So you know. Definitely, we ain't got to brush past that.
That's why I didn't want to. I knew it was that's once he asked you about you want to be a lawyer and that was the incident, that's not something that we could just move to the next subject. So that's what I wanted to touch on.
Yeah. But, and you know, it's like a lawyer is a powerful profession, right? Yeah. And so, you know, there's like a common theme with most of our guests where something terrible happens, but somehow they find a way to use it to motivate them to do something great. You know what I'm saying? So just shout out to you for not dwelling as a victim, you know what I'm saying? And using being victimized as motivation to never be victimized again.
Thank you.
And it's like, so a lawyer, I feel like a lawyer is a position of control. And maybe you didn't feel like you had any control at that time.
Yeah. I definitely feel like I try to control stuff, and that don't necessarily work in the personal relationships at times. No, it doesn't.
So you gotta
learn that balance. But
you don't need to put your boyfriends on the stand every day.
I don't put them on. I'm single. You know, I'm single and mingling.
So at a young age, you get through that bad time, right? Is there certain people that you grew up around that inspired you, or like, what were your positive influences coming up?
Honestly, everything inspired me. Growing up with my parents, my parents were young. My mom was 17 when she had me. So, you know, there were things that I learned from her that was inspiring. You know, hard work, getting a job done, cooking. You know, those are some things. Because some chicks don't know how to cook these days. But
first
those
guest are that ever cooked for us. First guest. That
yeah.
Ever
cooked
for shout us. Out.
Yeah. Yeah, man,
we definitely got the meal game.
Right. Sunday dinner around here. But one of, I call her a grandmother. She was one of the first black millionaires in Grand Rapids, driving a Porsche. I'm staying the night at her house in a mansion, you know, as a little kid. I'm 12 years old working at her business, along with working at my grandmother's business. So it was a lot of people that inspired me. My grandmother, Irene, my granddad, my dad. I got uncles, cousins. I've seen everybody from all walks of life, literally. And so for me, I take the good stuff from each of those individuals, and then like some of the bad stuff that they may have did, I may have said, you know, that's something I don't want to live like. Right. So just take it as an example of that. Right. I mean, I got female cousins that was dope girls, like major dope girls, then sat down 10 years plus, ain't told on nobody. I got other cousins in jail for murder or whatever. On top of it, my granddad, he was a minister till the day he died. 90 years old, lived a very good life. My other granddad worked at a factory, lived a very good life, took care of, you know, his kids, was great with me. He was a constant in my life, had not only cars, but had properties, had all sorts of things. So again, for me, I was blessed to see so much different stuff in my life that enabled me to relate to everybody, even how I practice law. Like, I got young clients as well as old clients, black, white, whatever. They all fuck with me.
I think what you're saying is dope, because a lot of people, like, everybody be acting like they just grew up without a chance. You might even see people in your own family who just say, oh man, I like you had it the worst. No, you've been around all this and you ain't soak it up. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you gotta understand you have to soak it up. You know what I mean? Like I talked to my brother. Obviously, you know, my brother got a life sentence, my little brother, he's 25, right? So he's talking to me. It's not off the subject, it all relates, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about the 21 Savage, he went to jail, all of this stuff. They just found out he had a Glock like in his car, right? Right. Like, so, my brother like, man, why, man, he got all this money, man, why would he, I wouldn't even have nobody around me like that, or I wouldn't be carrying. I said, you talking about him or you? Because you ain't have millions of dollars, but you still ain't need to do that.
Right.
Wow. Like, sometimes you gotta soak up what you got around you instead of blaming or saying, man, well, I ain't got $1 million, or I ain't got, no, you're not starving for no meals. You know what I'm saying? You could be all right. And the fact that you use that, like, some people say, well, I didn't have that. But your granddaddy did. You watch your, you can do that. It's not unfathomable, you know what I'm saying? So I just say it's a testament to your person. Like sometimes that's to everybody out there. You got to use what you got around you sometimes. And like you said, sometimes people do wrong stuff and you learn, I ain't going to do that. You know what I'm saying? So you still can use all that as motivation, you know what I mean? So to everybody out there, man, like sometimes you see a lot of stuff going on. If your homeboy got a business, that it can happen. You know what I mean? It don't have to be your mother or your father. So
what they say, L's should be lessons, not losses.
And that's what I look at with everything. You know, I talk about the earlier assault. That wasn't the only time I was assaulted, and had to deal with a victim type situation, but again, you gotta make that a lesson instead of, you know, looking at it as an L.
I feel like even in the podcast we've done with the guests, I feel like the Midwest, I feel like a lot of things come out of the Midwest that get slept on a little bit. Like the Midwest it doesn't have the notoriety as some places, but I feel like there's a lot of untold stories in the Midwest.
Oh yeah.
Like you think about all the shit that came from Detroit, from Michigan, from all these things, you know, even content coming out now, like the movie White Boy Rick and all this. And Detroit was like, because of the plants that was there, it was like the richest city in like the world for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, industrial
wise,
worked in the factories, got paid off the factories, Oh yeah, it's a lot going on. Grand Rapids, it be going on. And even today, though, with everything going on,
they try to kind of, I don't know, just try to minimize the Midwest. I feel like with the Flint, with the watershed and all that, it didn't get the exposure that it should have got.
Right.
Did you ever feel like an underdog coming up?
All day. I still feel like the underdog. And I'm sitting here 10 years in the game as a lawyer. I've never lost a trial, civil or criminal. I feel like that now.
We see a record on your coaster.
Yeah, it says
undefeated with all trials since 2009. So how many trials since 2009?
I roughly had one or two trials per year. So I'm not a per se trial attorney because I know some lawyers that go to trial, you know, one, two times, three times a month.
Most people try to force the cop out. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not even necessarily that. Mm-hmm. Some cases, it's better off a plea deal on top of some people just don't have any money. I mean, trial work, it costs money. And everybody not sitting around like Pablo, you know, sitting on money to take it to trial. And then on top of that, you know, some stuff is resolved outside of court as well. So, you know, it just varies. It just because you don't take it to trial don't mean that, you know, you a good or a bad attorney. And even with undefeated in all my trials, that doesn't necessarily, you know, equate to everything. And I say that because every client is not for Simmons Law, and I'm not for every client. You know, there's a certain client base that's for me that I like to attract to me, and I just leave it at that.
Okay. All right, now listen, we're gonna jump around because I see we kind of moving, right?
All
right, so you go to FAMU.
Yep. You said, HBCU in the building.
That's a fact. So you go to FAMU, and you said even you want to be a lawyer, but you still was kind of doing street shit. So basically,
when I was at FAMU,
maybe from where street niggas,
I'll just be 100. When I got to FAMU, a lot of that was again getting out of my family's shadow. So being 17, I mean, you still a kid. It wasn't really rebelling. It was just seeing life outside of Michigan. Because again, I'm coming from being well known or known in Michigan to go to FAMU in Florida. That's different. That's a whole different lifestyle. Even though I was in Tallahassee is different from even the bottom, even Miami, even Fort Lauderdale. But being in Tallahassee, I mean, you getting sun, you getting, you know, I was a tomboy. So getting to Florida, that's where my switch up of wearing, you know, girly kind of clothes and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say I got into too much street shit myself, but I definitely was around it.
Uh-huh.
I went to class and I'm a lawyer, so I ain't going to say all of that.
So
I went to class. I graduated on time, you know, school of business and shit. Definitely got my hustle on. I mean,
not even after that. Did you the type of niggas you dealt with, were they businessmen or street businessmen? That's okay.
Well, honestly, my first dude there, it was crazy. He was in entertainment. He was a rapping ass nigga. He was a rapping dude from Miami, and
he had gold teeth.
He did.
All right. Did he have dreads?
No.
Okay.
Did he do numbers?
It kind of did a little bit, but he's not a big artist now, I'll say. But the thing with that is, I'm a young girl. Now, I didn't even start having sex till my senior year. So, you know, I'm green to a lot of stuff. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, I'm green to a lot of stuff. I get down there, you know, he done ran 3-4 circles around me. But, you know, you learn from the best hoes, I guess.
Time's physical.
Right. You learn from the best hoes. But, no, my first dude, he was a rapping dude. After that, I ended up getting serious with my now ex-husband, who was actually in school for engineering, but he did street shit.
He went to prison?
No, he didn't. Okay. No, he didn't go to prison. And I guess the thing that attracted me to him was the fact that he was smart as fuck. Like, smart as fuck. You in school for engineering, on top of, like, very smart, but, you know, kind of... made me comfortable because we was into some of the same things outside of school, I guess.
That's another thing we hear all the time and we've experienced is just intelligence didn't really make a difference whether he was going to get caught up or not.
Right. You know,
because the streets is the game is the game.
Exactly.
Right? It ain't if you're gonna get caught is when it's and right. how bad it's gonna be.
You know and what I mean? Ain't gonna lie, it was times I really could have got caught in a lot of shit.
Yeah, I told
like, for real. And I thank God for covering me because not only I was around a lot of stuff, but when I was in Florida during my FAMU days, like my attitude was real rude. Real rude. Like yeah, I could have been in jail on a lot of stuff, and I thank God that I wasn't. That's all I can say.
No, that's a fact. That's a fact. I tell my son all the time, like, you do wrong, you're going to jail. That's just the way it works. Like people think, oh man, I want to make six figures. I want to make 50,000, whatever. Right. It takes a long time to get to that point. It's a lot of bullshit in between. Yep. That gets to that point. It's ups and downs. It's losses. It's robberies. It's you running after dudes who ran off on you. It's whatever.
Right.
It's not that easy. Just thinking, oh, if I just keep flipping, I'm going to make it. It's a lot of interchangeable things and miscellaneous things in that process. So
That's the illusion.
Yes, it's an illusion. Like everybody watches Scarface, right? But he killed a lot of people in the before, and didn't go to jail.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And he didn't get killed himself.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's my movie, though.
It's
first transaction, he almost got took out.
Yes, you know that's a fact. That's a fact. His Angel died.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you have to understand that it is only two options. It's death and jail. And hopefully you just don't do a lot of time. You can come and change your life.
And you know, what else is real, and I don't know why you split with old boy or whatever, but you lose, even besides death or in jail, the toll it takes on your relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's family members that want better for you, whether it's a significant other, it takes an extreme toll. You know what I'm saying? And that's what people don't understand. Yeah, it might be cool, some of the attention you get. But that attention is not worth the relationships that you ruin.
And let me kind of speak on that, because like I said, not only did I have guys that I dated, shoot, the rap nigga went to jail too. So, you know, I've been the girlfriend to people that had, you know, various situations where they went to jail. But I've had family in jail too. And then on the flip side, now I'm the lawyer. So I'm the lawyer where sometimes it's only me and my client. You're right. It ain't the family that's there. Yeah. It ain't your boys that's there. Right. It's not. Sometimes it ain't even your girl that's there. Even to this day, I got people that I write, that I send cards to. I got relatives that I put money on their books. So, you know, me, I guess my loyalty is different the way my loyalty is set up. And if I'm down for you, I'm going to be down for you. It's people, like I say, I still write to this day. Just got a letter the other day from prison from somebody that actually was a former client. That we ended up, me and his family, now we real cool. But, you know, one of the things he said in his letter, he was like, you know, Tiff, I just appreciate you. You know, your cards, your letters or whatever. And that goes a long way. Gotcha. And I guess I just look at how would I feel if I was in their shoes. And that's how I always kind of played a lot of stuff, even though, you know, it kind of bit me in the ass sometimes. But I always try to treat people how I would want to be treated.
So you got empathy in your approach. You got empathy in your approach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because like I say, I got family in jail for murder.
That's a different experience with a lawyer, because a lot of lawyers are just extremely straightforward, extremely blunt. And it might be to the benefit of you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But they're definitely not in there trying to make any type of human connection. They just...
Yeah. Well, I am straightforward. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going
to
bullshit you.
You have to be sometimes.
I'm going to tell my clients what it is, because that's just the type of person that I am. And, you know, you only lie when you fear something. And I don't have no fear about nothing. So, you know, I'm going to tell the truth, but I'm also a human being. And like I said, a lot of my clients, even as it relates to me doing entertainment law, I've sat in your shoes before, because I've been talent. On a movie set, I've been talent in a commercial, or I've you know, all of those sorts of things. So again, I look at my clients like I am you. So yeah, that's kind of where that comes from.
So like after FAMU, right? Where you went to school at?
I went to John Marshall Law School here in Atlanta, but I took a break in between the, you know, undergrad and
how long of a break were we talking about?
It was probably 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah. 4 years.
What did you do in the meantime?
Life. Okay. I came here to Atlanta. I was working at two of the HBCUs here. And just living, I was with the now ex-husband and, you know, okay, doing our thing.
The engineer.
I'm sorry?
He went to school for engineering.
Oh, that's he didn't finish. So he's not the engineer. Okay. Okay. No, he didn't finish. Okay. But the boyfriend or okay, ex-husband. All
right.
So, yeah, I was just living life. And what ended up happening is the job that I was on, it was a grant-funded program and it ended up ending. And so I'm basically jobless and I'm like, okay, what I'm going to do, you know? Yeah. My goal of leaving Michigan was to not live paycheck to paycheck. Although, you know, I never wanted for a meal and, you know, my mom kept me in nice clothes, all those sorts of things. I saw my family work hard, like just too hard. And I'm like, oh, no, this got to be another way. So that was one of my motivations when I left Michigan. So fast forward to that time frame. I'm still looking like, well, damn, I went to college. I graduated. Where my American dream? Yeah. Right. What's up?
Yep.
And that didn't happen. So my next move was, okay, what's next? Of course, in prayer and just thinking about it and planning and preparation, I said, okay, I want to go to law school. So I applied to law school. I applied probably for like 2 years to different law schools. I didn't get in. So I'm like, okay, what the fuck going on?
Yeah.
So I go home to Michigan to visit some family, and I seen a mentor of mine. And she said, well, you know, what you doing? What you got going on? I said, oh, nothing. I'm doing little business consultations and, you know, just some bullshit, basically. Yeah. And she said, well, you know, what about law school? And, you know, have you looked at John Marshall? And I said, yeah, I looked at it, but it's a private school. And I didn't want any more school loans because I had a little bit of loans from FAMU. Now, I had a couple scholarships and grants, but I still had a couple of loans. And I'm like, I ain't trying to create no more debt. Like, my whole purpose of leaving was to, you know, get money, not create debt. So anyway, she said, well, if John Marshall is going to give you the same degree as these other schools, why don't you check it out? So this true story. I called a school and I talked to the then director of admissions, Shannon Keith. I don't know, she's not there anymore, but shout out to her. We're just talking and I said, well, I'm trying to get in school. What do I need to do to get into law school? And she said, well, you can do the application, but there's a wait list. You can get on, you know, next year's wait list. I'm like, oh, nah, you know, I need to be in school now. Hey, I don't want to do no wait list. And in the midst of the conversation, she said, well, the only way that you can get into school is if the dean lets you in school. And I was like, all right, word. So the next day, I show up to the school. I have my resume, my transcripts, a couple other, you know, items that I thought would be needed. So I go up to the school and I ask to speak to the dean. So the dean comes out. Now, you know, I'm sitting down, but I'm 5'2". He like 6 foot something. Yeah. And I was like, hi, Dean Lynn, I'm Tiffany Simmons. You know, I'm 26 years old. I know I'm supposed to be in law school. I was told the only way I could get into school is if you would let me in. So can you review my information and let me know? So he looked, you know, like, what kind of shit is this? But he took my information and I went home. The next day, it was about 12 something. I'm at the house with my now ex-husband, and I get the call, and he's like, look, we're going to let you in school. Can you be here at 1 o'clock with the seat deposit, $500 seat deposit, and orientation starts at 1. It was like 12-something. Yes, I'm on my way. Yeah. So, of course, I'm thanking God, running around the house, coming up with the money, and I showed up to school. So that's how that happened. I didn't do no wait list. I didn't go through the regular application process. So throughout that, I was like, okay, God, this what the move is.
I'm glad you said that, right? Because with this whole social media era, this whole internet era, right, is that people don't get to be personal mm-hmm. with people, right?
It's power.
You're trying to get a job. They say go online, fill out the application, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's different when you show up.
Oh, yeah.
They see you. You know what I'm saying? They can touch you. They can hear the passion in your voice, how bad you want it.
Right.
That is something even the kids now today, like, you need to understand, too, is that goes a long way.
Oh, yeah. Somebody walks up to you. These days, they think taking a picture is success. Lil Duval just posted something like that, and that's facts. They think, you know, I've seen a lot with, you know, the younger lawyers or the law students. They posting all kind of pictures. They got wigs. They got their makeup done, all that. And I'm not knocking it because, of course, I'm trying to look pretty, too. But when I was in law school, wasn't none of that. It's straight school. Yeah. You broke. You ain't got money for all of that. Thank God I was with, you know, my then partner that I didn't have to work through law school like that. You know, of course, I always kept a hustle, but, you know, I was able to focus on being the student. It's not that glitz and glamour. Yeah. I mean, I was studying for the bar exam. My lights getting cut off. All sorts of shit because I chose to focus in on what was important and what was going to get me to the next level. So you're absolutely right. People want popcorn or microwave success, and that ain't necessarily what it is.
And another point, too, right? People stuck on social media. There's nobody doing bad on social media.
Right.
Everybody's doing good. Right. Everybody's balling.
Right.
That's not realistic. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's not being personable. It's everybody goes through everything. You know what I'm saying? There's roller coasters in life. Like, mm-hmm. that's why we don't like sugarcoat. I'm glad that you even talked about, my lights getting cut off on it. Nobody will put that on the gram.
Yeah.
My lights is off today. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Who's gonna say that? Right. You know what I mean? It's
I returned that outfit that I posted in.
Yes. Exactly. I was at the club with bottles and I had the tag still on because I returned it the next day because my lights were getting cut off. Or I had the eviction notice on my
door. Nobody posts up on my chain today.
One thing about it, when people meet me, they say, "Damn, you are who you say you are." Yeah. Because they see my social media and to be honest, I was kind of leery with that. Like, I'm old school like the mob. Okay. Come see me. Come talk to me in person. Fuck that phone. Fuck that Instagram. Yeah. Come see
but
who
for
I
business
am.
In this day and age, you have to have social media.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah. So I have it, but I'm just saying the real me,
definitely.
I'm very much, I want to feel your energy and see what you're about, you know.
We did the same thing, even with Ireland. We debated about social media because neither one of us had one prior. You know what I mean? But it's only been for a drug dealer's dream because we just come from a different.
And
no
then
pictures,
I come from no pictures, no evidence. Yeah. I come
our first
from,
year of pictures had our head cut off, and our eyes blanked out. That's what we do. We want to do all interviews
like with the blurry face.
With the blurry face. That's what we want to do, but it can't work like that.
Yeah.
So, how do you get the title The Plugs Lawyer?
Oh, wow.
And the chain with the plug.
Yeah, let's go.
And the book with...
Right. The Plugs Lawyer. Huh. Honestly, where the fuck did that come from? Well, I can kind of tell you what it kind of means and stand for. The Plugs Lawyer, I mean, that was kind of birthed out of, you know, for me, even growing up, I've dated people in the lifestyle or whatever, been around that, seen it with my own family. And I always said, I don't want the corner boy. If I'm going to be doing this, like, I'm a person, I'm 100% in or out. I'm not a middle kind of person.
Yeah.
So, even if I would have chose to have a negative lifestyle and pursue that, I'm doing it 100% to the grave. So, and that goes for me as the lawyer. I'm doing it 100% to the grave. So, for me, you know, the Plugs Lawyer is, why would I want somebody under you? I want to be working with the plug. I want to be working with the boss. Where your boss at? Not y'all. You know, so that's kind of where that title came from, which in turn, I wrote a book. It's called The Plugs Lawyer. It's a fiction book, and it's kind of loosely based on my life and things that I've seen, but it's a character named Tia. I'm working on the part 2 of The Plugs Lawyer.
Where can they get The Plugs Lawyer book?
Tia/Tiff.
No, just Tia. Just Tia.
We're going to keep the first letter.
No, just Tia. But no, The Plug's Lawyer and my other book called... Law and Family Order, Making the Case for Successful Moms to Be. Both of those books you can get on Amazon. You can get on Barnes & Noble's. I usually have copies because I would sell you all one, but I don't have any copies right now. All right. But The Plug's Lawyer is the fiction book. The Law and Family Order the Law and Family Order book, that one is a nonfiction book. And I did that with 12 other business women who had families. And just a little tidbit on why I did that is because although I've been blessed to be married before, I didn't have children yet. And I want children. I want that family life. And a lot of times people say, well, you can't have success and a family.
Right.
But I mean, you can. You know, a lot of women, successful women do that. I mean, shout out to Cardi, Beyonce, you know, whatever. So anyway, that's kind of why I participated in that nonfiction book is because I think a lot of people needed to hear that side of me because a lot of people see me as so much as the boss or see me as, you know, kind of rough.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm a woman.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm home, I'm not trying to be the boss. I'm trying to be the lady to my partner.
Soft.
Yeah. So
where do you find time, obviously, to have your track record as a lawyer? That obviously takes a lot of work. So where do you find time to just randomly write books?
It wasn't random.
Takes a long time.
Honestly, the Plug's Lawyer, I've written a total of 4 books. I have 2 more in the making.
On your own?
Yes.
Okay.
Poetry book.
Now,
right
I see
here.
A lot of...
Look, here go the poetry one right here.
Collaboration with...
No, the first book that I actually co-wrote with another author, which that one was called Street Kings 2. And that was with a guy that was a former dope boy that turned into an author, you know, when he was locked up. So that was like my first kind of delve into putting my name out there as an author. From there, I did a That's Law, Create Your Law Business for This Generation. Because at that point, I was in the position where a lot of people were asking me, well, how do you do this with your practice? And, you know, I see you doing that or mentor me or, you know, show me this, show me that. And I would give out advice to other young lawyers or even classmates, and it came to a point, I'm like, hold up, the game is to be sold, not to be told. So, you know, I ended up putting that into like a pocket guide. So
your
it's
little,
a short
that's your
read.
Little pimp saying coming through.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I mean, I know.
I'm Metropolitan back in the day.
I might know some pimps.
Stuart Ham.
Yo, I think that, I think you never lost that the business influences all around you. I think even though you pursued law, you treat from looking around and seeing all the branding and the alternative streams of income. I think you're treating law. You never forgot your business roots.
No, not at all. I mean, it's a picture of my grandmother on that right over there on that shelf. And I used to, the one that had the hair salons. And those are my grandparents, the Simmons up there, the one with the grocery store. But
the only lawyers I could think of that brand themselves crazy are like the accident lawyers.
Well, we not talking about
or
that.
Doctor. you're a trailblazer. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that, so. But not like I would ask my granny stuff about business, and she would say, you know, I'm not a lawyer, I don't know. And I said, but granny, we do the same thing. We provide a service. So your opinion and your experience is valuable. So I take from any sort of thing that I can learn from and contribute it to what I'm doing now, because you're right, I am a trailblazer. I'm the first attorney in my family. So it wasn't a lot of people I can ask for advice. So I was very selective, because I'll even admit I had family members saying, well, why don't you go work for the state? Why don't you go get a real job? Why don't you do this and do that? And I'm like, that don't make no sense to me. We come from entrepreneurs. Like, my goal is to create a legacy for my children's children when God blesses me with babies. So why would I not have my own?
And even entrepreneurship is, you're not working for Bethune Law Firm. You saying Simmons Law, this isn't me.
Yeah.
Like, regardless if I'm a lawyer, I'm still starting my own practice.
Yeah, this is me all day, and I'm grateful to be here 10 years later. you know. So yeah, this is all me. This is my name.
So let's get to some career highlights of Simmons Law. Is there like a memorable case or something that you want to touch on that lets you know, damn, I'm really good at what the fuck I'm doing?
I mean, all of my cases have been just a build up to where I am now.
What happened the first case you won? You went to trial. How'd you feel? What happened? You know what I mean?
Well, I got a case that sticks out. Now, it wasn't a very, a big case when we look at it. It was a contract dispute. My client had a contract with someone for services and didn't get the services. And of course, you know, that business tried to hide their money and all of that and not pay my client. What stands out for me is the stuff that I had to deal with outside of being a lawyer. Because to be honest, I pray about it and I go in there and God moves. Like, God does his thing through me. But what stood out with that particular case is my grandfather passed away. I was headed on a flight right after trial to go to Michigan to go bury my granddad. So to have to focus on somebody else's, you know, problem, and you got somebody that was, you know, a patriarch of your family, you know, that I love dearly, pass away, and I gotta, you know, get on a plane in a few hours. Yeah. So for me, that's a case that kind of stood out because I remember before I left, I said, okay, granddad, I'm doing this for you. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's one of them things you can't necessarily walk away from. You can't stop. Last year, and I kind of shared this before we started the interview, I took a leave of absence. I was, to kind of get back on the assault thing, I was assaulted by my male roommate. No relation, no anything. We were strictly roommates. I was assaulted in the home that we were in.
What? Are you in school still?
No, this just happened in 2018.
Wow. Get the fuck out yes. of here. Yes. Okay.
So I'm bringing this up to say that was the first time that I took an extended leave of absence from law. So many other things. Like, I've been to the point, and we talked about this earlier, I would work until I worked myself sick. The year before that, within the 2018, I did a book tour for the Plugs Lawyer. And there was one point my publicist had to take me to the hospital because I was sick. And I was sick with bronchitis and didn't even know it. So for Simmons Law, I eat, breathe, shit this for 10 years. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't take a break until that incident happened, the assault happened, where I couldn't just kind of sweep that under the rug and keep moving. I had to really deal with me and what was going on inside of me. So, you know, being a lawyer is not for the faint of heart. It's not something you do just because you want the money. There's been plenty of times where I had to keep working even though the client didn't pay, or keep working even if clients weren't calling, or keep working, you know, when you got a case that you don't want to be a part of any longer, but you still got to do the job. So, you know, I commend all of us that are attorneys that are continuing through, especially minority attorneys, because a lot of times we work with less resources, but we get A1 results. And that's just, you know, real. One of my goals is to have economic power. And when I say economic power, that means wealth. That means, you know, where you don't have to join with another larger firm because you got it all in-house.
Damn, we were talking about that kind of early with a lot of stuff. Like we talk about the culture all the time, right? We got this whole thing going on with Gucci and Prada and the blackface and all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And me and him have conversations all the time because everybody say, oh, buy black or whatever, right?
Shit, they don't buy black for professionals. When it comes to black professionals, I just posted something about this, and I speak about it again. I don't come from lawyers, so you know, for me, I'm not stuck on that. Oh, don't say this because you're a lawyer, don't be like this, or don't go there. You know, I'm gonna say what's real and what's the truth, to be honest. for me being a lawyer, I thought that I was going to be able to really help people that look like me. And I thought that they would understand me and want me as their representation. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, that's not necessarily the case. When it comes to buying black, yeah, we say that. Yeah, that's celebrities say that.
That's a fact.
But they don't buy black professionals.
That is a fact.
We want to talk about, I'll make it even more relevant, 21 Savage situation. Yes, Jay-Z didn't hire a black immigration lawyer to help.
What's it, Alex Spiro?
Well, we don't need to say no names.
Okay,
because I know plenty black immigration lawyers that he could have hired.
But he went to white man. At the end of the day, it sounds good. We was talking about this. We were talking about the NFL. And yeah. Even Jay-Z was mad at Travis Scott for not performing at the thing. But you have Roc Nation Sports, who represents Todd Gurley, who's the top running back who played for LA Rams.
Right,
you ain't telling him not to play. You want to get the money from him because you can get him endorsements and you're still benefiting off the NFL. What I'm saying is I respect Bob Black, but you can't be selective. You know what I'm saying? And Bob Black, as I was explaining to him, because he's white. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean Bob Black is racist.
Right.
Bob Black is investing in your community and keeping your community together. The same way the Asians do, the Spanish, they're not racist, but we're going to make sure we good. Right. The Jews are going to make sure their community is good. That's not racist. That is buying your own community. Right. Why would you get the money in your own community and spend everywhere else except with the people that you're around? And you know what I'm saying? It had nothing to do with race. Like it just has to do with culture, and you don't have to be white, Asian, Spanish to rock with the culture. Because I go to Chinatown. We used to go to Canal Street all the time in New York and buy wild shit. Yeah. I wasn't racist toward them. I want a deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I hope you can come to my community and get a deal. The problem is, it ain't shit over here because we ain't trying to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? And
well, I think that we are doing things. We're doing a lot of things, but it's a matter of, again, us supporting us.
That's what I'm saying. We're not doing anything as far as supporting each other. Like, we're supposed to have our own network of things. Like I watched Killer Mike's Breakfast Club interview. I watched his show, right? Mm-hmm. And
oh, they're my folks. And he does buy black.
That is a fact.
Yes.
What I'm saying is
I'm not his lawyer yet, said, but that's still my folks.
He said desegregation was one of the worst things.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And because we had our own businesses, we had our own gas stations, we had our own grocery stores.
When we had to support ourselves or only had the option to support ourselves, we had a lot of black millionaires. Yeah. We had people who were proud to say, my lawyer is black, my dentist is black, my doctor is black. But these days, you know, and I kind of shun myself from going down that road a lot, because if you get caught into, you know, that sort of vibe, you won't attract what's really for you. So I pray about that a lot, because honestly, it's a hard pill to swallow. For example, I buy Ply's music, or I listen to Ply's music, but I'm hearing you saying your rap, I got five lawyers and they all Jew. That's a slap in the face. Like, a lot of what these artists say in their music as it relates to lawyers of, you know, a Jewish lawyer is better, or a white lawyer is better, or this man lawyer is better. That's a slap in the face for all of those lawyers that black that listen to your music.
Especially if you had to work harder to get to the position.
Oh yeah. So those are things that I look at. Like, man, I'm your sister. I could be your sister. I could be your woman. Whatever. I look like you. Why would you not want to work with me? Now, I think in my case, you know, a lot of guys that I've ran into in the industry, they'll look at me as, oh, I can't work with her because it's a pretty girl. Let me date her. And that sucks, too. Like, let me get my money, bro. Like, we ain't got to go down that path of trying to, you know, date me.
I would imagine.
Let me get money.
It's tough because I've probably had 10 lawyers and none of them been black. Let me keep it 100. But most of mine just been on referral, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and sometimes it is referral.
Yeah.
For example, if you look at Gucci's lawyer, who's the lawyer for Migos, who's the lawyer for Cardi, who's the lawyer for a lot of people.
You get referred to a lot of lawyers.
That's a referral. Yeah. That was based off of Gucci's referral. But imagine if Gucci would have pulled, you know, a plus lawyer up with him.
Yeah.
Like, I guess for me, what kind of bothers me is, I say the same things y'all saying in y'all raps. I want to provide for my mom. I want to provide for my family. Like, you know, God bless the dead, but before my grandparents, my grandmothers, both of them passed away, my goal was to pay for their houses and all those sorts of things. Yeah. So
a drug dealer's dream.
Exactly. Like I said, I think in one of the messages, like, I am the drug dealer's dream. Now, on part of that, you know, dope boys like smart chicks, but, you know.
That's a fact. That's a fact. That is a fact. It's true. You know what I mean? I think at the end of the day, everybody's goal is the same. Like we say all the time with a drug dealer's dream. Drug dealer's dream is to stay out of prison, take care of your family, and live a prosperous life. You know what I mean? And that's every goal. Like, a lot of people ask us, how do I get on the show? Or do I have to been in jail? Or no, you don't. Everybody has a story. You know what I mean? And everybody's dream is to see that person with the nice house or the car or the thriving business. And that's the drug dealer's dream. Everybody has that goal. In the meantime, it's the stuff that comes in the middle of that send people right or left. Yeah. Right. You know what I'm saying? So for you to stay strong in that, he's went through his trials and tribulations. I went through mine. We take different paths in life, but we all try to end up at the same point.
Like, and everyone makes mistakes, and if society labels you as something due to your mistakes, you know, that stigma, it doesn't mean that you're going to fail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes
you gotta even label you with what you do. Right. Like, right. I'm labeled just as the lawyer, and I write books. One of my books is going to be a screenplay. I do acting. I've been a background actor in a lot of films that are filmed here in Atlanta. It's so much more to me besides the lawyer. But again, people get caught up in, like you say, the labeling.
Let's talk about Atlanta for a second, right? Because with the Super Bowl just being here and stuff, I saw a lot of people on social media. It is like Atlanta, being in Atlanta, they came to visit or whatever, to party, to hang out, to have a good time. I feel like we've been here so long now. I feel like, and Chop, me and Chop talk about this all the time, Chop growing up here, I feel like Atlanta is the most unique and influential city in the world right now. That's what I feel like. And you, like you said, being a trailblazer, do you think that just the energy and the vibe of Atlanta adds to your push?
I think it does. Of course, I would have excelled in Michigan. If I would have stayed in Michigan, I probably could have excelled in Florida. I knew I was bigger than Michigan. I knew I was bigger than you know, my hometown and the, like I say, the shadow of my family. When I was on my leave of absence, kind of dealing with myself, I left Atlanta and I was in Florida, Michigan, and I was in LA. And my last spot was LA. And being in LA, I loved being able to kind of heal and take care of myself from the assault situation. But I realized out there, like, hold up, Atlanta, we make the culture. We make the culture. Like, Atlanta is my home. For me growing up, you know, I lived in a lot of places. So stability was my granny's house. Stability was my aunt's house. God rest her soul as well. So I didn't know stability. I'm running around here, you know, just going everywhere. I travel a lot for business. I do a lot of stuff. So, you know, when I got to LA and had that time there to come up with Atlanta is my home, that meant a lot for me. Because again, it was like, if you're not stable, it's hard to kind of really build a solid foundation because you all over the place.
Hey, listen, I wanted to touch on the roommate situation you had, right?
Okay.
The assault. Now, not even going into the assault, it was you had a male roommate, right?
Yep.
How does that, even going on in the future, you dealing with, like, just friends of the opposite sex? You know what I'm saying? Is that hard? Like, if you're not dealing with them sexually, because sometimes you might have a dude, he's in the friend zone. Y'all cool.
But right. But I, like with many girls think they got a man in the friend zone. Chris Rock said it best: it's emergency dick in the glass, right? But it's like break when it's emergency, it's a fight. But a lot of dudes can't deal with that. Like I don't want to be your friend. Like I want we're roommates, but I know if I get in the right situation, I can have her, so on and so forth. Is that even for a lot of females who are watching this? Because sometimes you think a dude is cool,
right?
But most of the time, but most of the time, a dude in the friend zone is a dude who tried to holler, but you deaded.
Right.
And y'all are actually cool.
Dude,
you know what I'm saying?
A dude will lay in the tall grass for
years.
He's
gonna lay like a snake.
Yeah, they will.
You know what I'm saying? So how does that make you move, even not even touching on the assault, is that how do you move in the future with dudes you could be cool with? Or is it a possibility, or you say, fuck it, if I ain't fucking with you, we ain't cool. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So let me backtrack to that situation. Okay. That situation was strictly business. Prior to the roommate situation, we weren't friends. It was strictly a business decision of myself because I wanted to save to purchase a home. So me coming from where I'm paying my rent, office rent, car notes, other people car notes, helping cousins through college, like I am responsible for a lot of things. So for me, it was one of those, okay, Tiff, let's do a humble yourself, get the roommate for a little bit so you can stack your bread and make your next move. So that was my intentions totally going into that.
But you weren't afraid of going with a guy at that point?
No.
That you didn't know?
No. What kind of, I guess, solidified my answer is because someone that was doing some work for me, knew the guy from college.
Okay.
And so they said... Well, kind of, sort of. And so they said, well, I know they pay their bills, you know, whatever. Yeah. So I just said, okay, you know, fuck it. Yeah. As long as you pay your bills, we shouldn't have anything to worry about, especially a male.
Right.
But that wasn't the case. This person who looked good on paper, chemical engineer, all of that, was a crazy person.
How long were you guys roommates?
1 month. The incident that forever changed my life. Was a month in, and what was so crazy is like I didn't have my gun in the house. I carry a gun. My phone wasn't around me, you know, when it first started happening. So for me, it was real crazy because I'm not a person that kind of scare easily, and people kind of know that about me. And then on top of it, what was also crazy was I didn't get justice for myself. So, you know,
kind of explain that.
I'll just be 100 with people. Getting therapy is a plus. It's a bonus.
Right.
It's something that if you've been through something, nothing is wrong with getting therapy because I've gotten therapy behind this and other, you know, situations. Right. But as far as not getting justice, I say that because when I finally got to the police, it wasn't treated as... I was hurt. Maybe because I came out of the home and I wasn't bloodied or whatever. They didn't take it as seriously. The case, ultimately, I did a criminal warrant against this person myself just to kind of speed up the process because, you know, to kind of take it to the law. The police or the state can charge you with a crime or a person could take out their own criminal warrant. What ended up happening in my case, while waiting on the police, I also filed my own criminal warrant with the help of an attorney, paid a lawyer.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
So I mean that. Let me stop you there. A person can file a criminal warrant.
Yeah, you can file your own criminal warrant.
Okay.
Now I ended up hiring a lawyer, which was a friend of mine. What ended up happening is the criminal warrant ended up getting dropped due to something my lawyer did that was a friend of mine on top of I paid you. So when I say I didn't get justice for myself, after going through all of that, explaining the story, retelling the story so many times, it was emotional.
Takes a toll on you.
Yeah,
so
it took a toll on me.
This that same night because you called the police.
No, correct? I called the police, right when it happened. It happened in the morning.
And he didn't get arrested?
No. Damn. So part of me was upset because, you know, I feel like they just saw a black woman and didn't give a fuck.
Now, was on his side, was he saying it was consensual?
No, I don't know what he said on his side. I don't know. But to kind of wrap that up, because that was a whole lot.
Yeah, and we ain't trying to make you retell stuff.
Yeah, that was a whole lot. Because to be honest, like I say, this is something that happened in the sanctity of my home.
That's different.
So, you know, to have to leave where you thought was your home, and I just moved here, like, that messed up my finances. Yeah. And that led to me taking a 6-month leave of absence, which was essentially unpaid. But I thank God that I was in a position where I was okay, where I was able to leave and go be around friends and family and people that I can trust that, you know, made sure I was good.
And, did you do a lot of writing in that time?
I did not. I did not. My books and other stuff that I write. Now, I have right here one of my drafts for The Tatted Lawyer. That's my book of poetry. Okay. Now, what I did do was write the poetry stuff. I didn't write any more of my book stuff.
You wrote emotional stuff. So insightful stuff.
Yeah, my poetry, like...
The Plugs Lawyer.
The Tatted
Lawyer.
Yeah.
Why The Tatted Lawyer?
The Coaster Lawyer. The Pillow Lawyer.
Why well, The Tatted Lawyer? Lawyer came from because I'm tatted up. Like, I got tattoos all over my body. And, of course, you can't see it right now except for the hand tats. But for me, getting tattoos is therapy for me. I've been through a whole lot of pain. And I guess tattoos for me is a way to put that pain into motion. Because it's painful getting tattoos. So
are they meaningful?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, all of them mean something. For example, the one on my hand says power. And that's because being a lawyer was me kind of seeking power. And it could possibly subconsciously go back to, childhood or whatever. I have two hearts on my hand. And the two hearts I got that because I was kind of like, okay, God, I'm ready for new love. So that's two hearts. I got a lot of tats. It's one on my wrist that says, a African proverb, which basically means patience is good. I'm an impatient person. So, I put that on my wrist.
As a reminder.
Yes. As a reminder. When the incident happened with the roommate, I got this one that says freedom and it has birds because I actually, left the law. I mean, I was really wanting to hang it up. Like I said, I didn't come from lawyers. So for me to be a fighter for other people, to be undefeated and all those sorts of things.
You felt betrayed by your own profession.
Oh, yeah. I felt betrayed. I felt left out. Like, I just seen a lot of stuff for what it really was, and it messed me up. It really did. It was like, I don't want this no more. I don't want this. So the freedom tattoo was like, okay, I feel free to release and do other things. And then that was a time where I was, praying like, okay, God, what else do you want me to do? And then that's when I look back at, family isn't important to me and my family. And I'm not a parent yet. I don't have kids yet. And that was something that kind of, bothered me even up until now. My last grandparent passed away. She was blessed to see 20-something grandkids, great grandkids, but she never seen me with my own kids. And that kind of fucked me up because I'm like, shoot,
let's talk about kids. It. What do you think the problem is? Why you're not meeting the right person?
I'm not gonna say not meeting the right person because you go through different things. You meet all sorts of people until you meet the one. Of course, me and my ex-husband, we was practicing. Shoot, I like sex. But,
fertility places?
No, we didn't do anything like that. We just didn't get pregnant. But I say now I'm single. I'm not, in a committed relationship.
Plug lawyer on deck.
Christian's on Christian Mingle. Right now.
Match.com.
Tinder. Swipe right.
Nah, if you a real nigga, just see me in the streets. Oh, I don't do that. I don't do no Tinder. I don't do Christian Mingle. All
right, so what's
right now,
what's dating like in Atlanta for a successful young woman?
Um, I don't know. Like, the last time I was in love, honestly, that was a person that I did business with. Like, we were doing, in the midst of doing a business transaction, and a couple weeks later, he hit me up like, yo, can I take you out? And honestly, that was the last time I was in love with somebody. And I think one of the reasons why I fell in love with him is because he was very different than what I experienced. I haven't experienced where, you know, I'm kind of, you know, supporting my guy or motivating him or this, that, and the third. With this dude, I was always motivated by him. Like, he was more driven than me. And I think dating now, it's hard because I've done so much. I've traveled worldwide. I mean, I done been in helicopters, private jets, all that sorts of shit. So the average, like to be honest with a particular person I used to date, it's like when you date a motherfucking puffy type nigga, and then you got the UPS man want to take you out. Yeah. And it's like, UPS, man. No, I love UPS men, but I'm just saying, it's different. So to be honest, for me, dating in Atlanta is kind of, it's different because of that. Like, you got a lot of guys that are just 9-to-5 guys, and they don't understand my lifestyle. They don't understand my life. And again, they just fucking boring. Like, for real, it's some boring dudes. Like, and then
you can talk about it because we talking to women who are in Atlanta. Like, yeah, guys get the other end of this aspect.
Plus, you guys are outnumbered. You're fighting the numbers.
I mean, I don't even attest to that. You know how some people say, oh, it's the gays, it's the this, it's the, or statistics. Yeah. Right, if I was to look at statistics, I wouldn't be here as a lawyer. I would have been a single teenage mama like my mom if I would have looked at statistics. So I never go with statistics, but for me, like I say, the type of guy that, you know, I probably end up with and have my twin babies with is definitely going to be a boss like myself, but it's going to have to be somebody that has seen more than me. And, you know, the average dude hadn't seen more than me, unfortunately.
So you're powerful in your profession, but you won't be submissive in your relationship.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Like, I love me and the lady. You should be a girl, right? Yeah. I love to be girl to girl. And it's crazy because, like, I wasn't that. You're going to get matching tattoos? Nah, but go ahead. We don't have to necessarily get matching tattoos. Nah.
You know,
he can be his own person. I've gotten tattoos with a person's name before, but that ain't nothing they got to do.
Yeah, you could cover it up. because like a lot of dudes will see her. She like, I'm glad she said that about Atlanta, right? Because a lot of guys here are actually faking, right? You got the scammers, you got dudes who act like I got this, but don't really spend their rent money in the club, right?
Right.
So it's that's a fact. Yeah. So a lot of even them dudes, because they're actually not really living how they acting, are intimidated.
Yeah,
right. So it's all of this shit, but when we realize, when we sit down and have a conversation, I have nothing to talk about.
Right, or nothing to offer.
Nothing to offer.
Even if you got bread, because again, I've dated millionaires down to no money. And even if you got bread, if you don't have nothing to show me or teach me or inspire me, like, I'm straight. I'm good, bruh. You know, I'm good on all of that. I got my own bag. I got my own weed. I got my own whatever.
Right.
You know, I can make myself come. Like, I can do all of that.
So, as long as you got something going on and can teach something, right? Experience a lot. The DMs are open. DMs are open.
And be emotionally together. I mean,
what if they write you a poem in the DM? Like, because you're into poetry.
That's lame.
What if they DM you a poem?
I don't know. Because honestly,
let me teach you.
Might have to be the right poem.
Yeah.
I see you in a drug dealer's dream. I know what you want.
Yeah, no, it'll have to be the right poem. Because I'll be, let me kind of touch on the tatted lawyer, the poem.
Okay, yeah, let's touch on
it. It took me
years. There ain't no way you get out of here without rapping a poem.
No, I'm a read one. It took me years.
I don't know how to snap, though, so don't get offended if I don't start snapping at the end. I don't know how. Yeah, Jesus snapping.
Okay.
I don't know how to do that.
But no, it took me years to kind of share these. And I say that because
it's a lot of poems.
The poems, it's like, it's 52 pages. No, it's not. It's not that many.
Okay.
But the reason why it took me a while to kind of, you know, even talk about the poems and the poetry, because honestly, I want the poems to be songs. Like, I want to get into songwriting myself.
Okay.
Because a lot of what I have to say is real shit. And songs, when they're really real and from the heart, that's what touches the masses. So anyway, a lot of with the poems, they're dear to my heart and they're kind of sappy. So I didn't want to share them because I don't like showing, you know, that soft side. But it is what it is. Like, it's
trying to attract the right nigga.
Yeah.
You can't be trying to be RoboCop.
Listen,
you got to go in.
Let me see. Y'all want a nasty one or you want...
You got to say what you trying to attract.
Yeah. You got to put that energy. You got to put that vibe out there.
Damn. Well, I need to go with the nice one. Yeah, I was trying to find this one that was so sexy that I actually performed it at Apache once. Okay. But this one, was...
Lawyer by day.
By Varsity, right? That's down
Spitter by night. Going in, bro.
When I used to be in the hole in the bed,
yeah.
They used to have... Live at Apache Night, they used to have like people on there speaking their little spoken words. Like,
shell necklace. Could you see the shell necklace in your imagination? I just saw like
possibly Music Soulchild as their most major artist, mainstream performer in there. Because he was like Neo Soul.
It's come from the music, bro. It's been many open mic nights. Mics don't work.
It should be on like 88.5. It was like a station that wouldn't play if you was in your whip, but if you had the little... The radio where you had to scroll a little bit to catch the station.
Oh, where you got found that sweet spot.
Yeah,
bro.
Damn, y'all got me looking through. I don't know.
Everybody's wrote a poem before. Yeah. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
Nah, but I'm saying, like, what do y'all want? Do y'all want...
We've been instructed to let you do what you want to do.
Do you want
to light a candle or something?
No.
You ain't got no incense?
You got potpourri?
We do have the Clean Burst Simmons Law.
The blood power spray. Yes. Keep that shit in your car.
Okay. Dang.
Yes, all day. Here go one. Okay. I'm gonna do one on love because I was trying to find a nasty one about threesomes, but I'm not gonna give y'all that one today.
1 + 1 = 3.
No, the one that I did about the threesomes, like that one, that was a good one.
That from personal experience?
That was a good one. I plead the fifth.
Okay.
Lawyer talk.
All day. Okay, so here go one about love. Trying to run from what could be love, trusting God while looking at the sun. Is this the real thing or my mind playing tricks on me? Powerful thing, the mind that is. Seeing that coming to America moment come to life. She's done with being one of the homies. God made her a wife. A wife, a woman, a lady. Underneath all the toughness, roughness, and fearlessness, life taught her love. So they're going one of them.
That's your life in a nutshell. You want to be soft. Yep. But on the exterior,
you've been forced to achieve what you achieve.
And in the industry you're in, you got to be tough. Or you will look at it.
Especially when there's people trying to take advantage of your softness.
Yeah. So...
Well, that's dope, man. I can't wait to read the Tatted Lawyer.
Oh, and let me do one more then. This one is actually
10 more.
This one is called the Tatted Lawyer. It's beauty behind this pain, the pain of distrust, the pain of disloyalty, the pain of dis-ease, looking for ease, looking for love, but the love was inside of me. The love inside of me dying to be free. There is beauty behind this pain, the pain I cover with tattoos and smiles. The pain from the needle creates something beautiful that lasts forever, just like the pain that one could carry inside unless it's free. Release the pain because the beauty comes after. After you release it, you become free. Free to love, free to fly.
That's dope. You got snap for that one, bro.
Yeah, snap.
Yeah, you got snap for that one. Thanks. That's dope.
Okay.
Y'all got to catch me later, you know, for the threesome one.
All right. So, what's the next one?
We was talking earlier, right? We're like, we got her on the show. We got a lawyer. We was talking about regular shit, right? You get pulled over, right?
Yes. All
right. You're a criminal attorney as well, correct?
Right. Simmons Law, we specialize in business, criminal defense, and entertainment law. Okay. So yeah, I am known for criminal defense.
As a young person, yes, we were always told, the police pull you over,
right,
they ask to search you, you say, no, I don't want to be searched. You don't have probable cause to search me.
Right.
They give you an ultimatum, and they say,
we're going to bring the dog.
We're going to bring the dogs.
Dun, dun.
Or you let us search you right now.
Right. What do you do?
What do you do? Because yeah, I'm going to say you can't search me. Right. But and when I tell you that, it's not like they say, hey, sir, have a nice day.
Right.
You go.
Right.
They still bring the dogs. Right. How is that probable cause?
And they might have you sitting out there.
That's not probable cause. My car doesn't smell like weed. I don't smoke weed, personally. My car doesn't smell like weed. Why do they have probable cause to search my car? How can they do that?
Well, the thing is, they're going to say they got probable cause if they say, you know, I smell weed. Even if you're not smoking, they're going to use some sort of incident or, you know, say something like that or your taillight was out, et cetera. The one thing I want to kind of take away from this or your audience to take away is shut up. Shut the fuck up. If you quiet and just listen.
I was hoping you got to that point.
Here's on my card.
My lawyer's card said the same thing.
Look, you want to read it to him?
Yeah, I want to say the same thing.
Okay. Read it.
Yes, my lawyer has advised me, if stopped, detained, or questioned by the police, detective, or any federal authority, to remain silent unless he or she is present. I do not consent to any search of my house, car, or body, nor do I submit to any test without her present. This includes all sobriety tests, i.e. walk and turn, saying the alphabet, one leg, stand, HGN test, breathalyzer test, ETC, etc.
Let me get one of them.
I understand that I must contact my attorney after refusing a test within 10 days of my arrest in order to save my license. Remember to remain calm and courteous. Mm. I respect that.
I do too.
I do have a lawyer. His name is Joe Hibachi. He's Egyptian.
Oh, actually. I know Joe. No, I know him.
That's my attorney.
He's cool.
He represented me at least 10 times.
Hey, Joe.
His card said basically the same thing. Shut up.
And the thing is, if you are quiet in these situations, they don't have your statement to use as evidence. There have been plenty of times where my clients have said statements, and of course, it always worked against you. And it's like, okay, how am I supposed to work around this and get you out of this? And you done told them, yeah, I done had 20 drinks. I'm drunk, you know, whatever. Just let them arrest you and call your lawyer. If you need an excellent attorney, call Simmons Law, 404-461-8422.
Listen, that's what I wanted to say, right? A lot of times when people get arrested, they think they can talk their way out of going to jail.
And you can't. You can't.
You're going to jail anyway. Yes. Let's be clear. Yeah. If it's time to take you to jail, then you're going to jail. If they were going to let you go, they're going to let you go anyway.
Right.
If you get pulled over and you be quiet or what have you, and they were going to let you go, they're going to let you go regardless. That's what I want. I'm saying this because I know the answer. It's a rhetorical question.
Right.
What I'm saying is there's nothing you can do to get you out of that situation.
Nope.
Even if you told, you're going to jail, you might get a lesser charge, you're going to jail and just looking like an idiot.
Yep.
Just shut up, because a lot of the times, I'm going to let you go, even with, I asked her that, but I don't answer. Even if you get pulled over and you say, I don't want you to search my car, yes, you're going to say that because that's for the record. Now, if they do search your car and they find whatever, later you can get that dismissed for not having probable cause. I'm saying that because I know. So don't try to talk your way out of, oh, it's my friends, he was here last night. It doesn't matter. You're still going to jail because he's not there and it's in your car. It doesn't matter. Be quiet. Okay.
Just be quiet. If you seen that meme where they say, hold on, buddy, I'll be right back, you know you're going to jail.
You see that second car pull up? Your ass is going to jail. That is a fact.
Just be quiet. That will help you in the long run, just being quiet.
Let me ask you a question, right?
Yes,
a lawyer told me this, right? He told me that I had a situation And he told me, as soon as you say no, I don't want you to search my car, that is probable cause. Mm.
Is that true?
That's what the lawyer told me.
That is probable cause for them to search your car?
Yeah, because I told him no. When he said, do you mind if I search your car? Well,
That would make them be like, damn, why he don't want me to search his car?
That's what I'm saying. They were saying that.
But that's not right.
Right.
It may be a reason why that lawyer told you that. I don't necessarily agree with that. But again, every lawyer is different. So something you may ask me, it may be different from Joe. It may be different from that lawyer. But it may be something else, the reason why that lawyer said that, that was why they said that. Possibly because of the fact that you said no, they may think that you have something in there.
Maybe it's the way
you
say no or something.
I don't know. But what I will say is you do have a right to say that you don't want your car to be
searched. So just basically, if you get pulled over, just recite the back of your car word for word.
Yes.
Please do.
Recite the back of my car word for word. Okay. Say, call my lawyer or you call me. I've even had clients, to be honest, call me when they... Like, police is there, and they've called, like, Tip, what's blah, blah, blah. Now, I will say, those are my clients that paid that nice retainer that can call me at any, you know, time and say that.
I've definitely done that. The last time I got pulled over, like, you know, like, when you're not doing wrong, it's the best time to get pulled over. I'm talking shit.
Please pull me over.
I'm giving you an attitude. Yeah.
Right.
See, and they, you know, the probable cause I think they're trained at when someone's trying to be too, like, he's dirty. Because the last time I got pulled over, I'm recording them. Yeah. I'm like, yo, like I know I'm not in the wrong. You know what I'm saying?
And then it kind of goes back to knowing your rights. I mean, I'm a attorney, and I remember I'm sitting here. Now, I was in Roswell. I was leaving my aunt's house going to breakfast. It's probably 11 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. I pull into I'm out in Roswell, so I pull into a hotel parking lot. Now I'm sitting there trying to get my GPS in order because I'm like, okay, what I'm gonna eat right now? Yeah. What I want for brunch or you know breakfast? Yeah. And a police officer pulls in behind me and he's like, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just getting directions. Like I stayed on my phone and you know doing what I was doing. And he's like, well, what are you doing here? And I said, sir, I'm parked. I said, I don't want to text and drive because that's illegal.
Yeah.
And then he went on to, you know, just kind of badgering me. Yeah. And then he went on to say, well, can I search your car? I said, no. You know, and he's like, well, this is a high crime area and this and that. Okay, I am in a parking lot, so I don't have to text and drive. I said, I'm trying to find where I'm going to brunch. So, you know, I bring that story up to say, no matter, even if you're doing the right thing, you could still be pulled over. But when you know your rights, because I could have easily said, oh, I'm scared, search my car. And if he would have found something, that would have been, you know, you know, me going to jail.
Because you could have been dirty. Well, he had no right to search your car.
Right, because all I was doing was parking while I was getting directions to where I was going.
That's not probable cause.
Right, right. So, you know, definitely know your rights. But I've also said this as well, because I speak a lot of times about police brutality. I've been involved with some civil rights cases myself. You know, for example, one of my clients was Chris Ledet. He was the gentleman who uploaded the video of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge getting murdered by the police. And once my client uploaded that video, the next day, he was arrested at his job. He uploaded the Alton Sterling murder video. And I bring that up because, like I said, I've done, you know, some civil rights related cases. So a lot of times I do tell people, you know, although we do have rights and know your rights, also make it home to your family. Be safe, make it home to your family. It's not a matter of arguing. If you have a police officer that you know is on some old other, make it home to your family. That's what I do, you know, say as well.
True. I agree.
I did find that poem, y'all.
We might as well close on the threesome poem.
On the threesome
gosh. This ain't gonna get me no man. It's gonna get me freaks.
Might get you a man that want to be freaky. Sometimes.
No, because we ain't down for all this. This was
a mistake.
This is single life law.
No,
this
was
college days experiment.
No, it wasn't college days. No, it's not actually. To be honest with you, I haven't had sex since last year, 2018. That's dope. I'm dead ass. Like, I wanted more than just.
It's January
2nd.
Yeah.
No! It's February. But,
I'm dead ass. I'm dead.
December 31st don't really count.
No. Actually, the last person was the guy that I told y'all about. And I would have had that man kids, but he was on some old other. The one that I learned a lot from. Man, now this some game for the fellas.
Okay, please.
Meet
please,
a chick.
Please,
if you please. Teach her something, you got meet a chick and teach her something. Okay. That's gonna get you farther with the chick instead of trying to buy her something. Like, I can buy my own bags and shoes.
True.
Teach a chick something, help propel her game. I promise you, she gonna fall in love
with you.
So
what happened?
What happened?
Yeah, what happened? Why he wasn't the one?
He ain't teach her.
No, he tried to teach her.
But something happened.
Yeah, a whole lot. Yeah. I mean, it was some stuff that, it was some dishonesty in that. I think that if that guy though came to me correctly on some real shit, I would give him.
Look in the camera.
Yeah, why not look at the camera? That nigga ain't watching
this. He is gonna watch it. He loves you.
Yeah, oh yeah.
No,
yeah.
Seriously.
If you would have
came to me,
if you wouldn't have lied,
yes, I still love you.
No, seriously. On some real talk. Okay. You know, if he would have came to me on some real shit. After, you know, all of what we've been through. Because we've known each other a good at least 6 years now. If he was to come to me on some real shit, like, look, Tip, this is what I want. I want you as my wife. I want to, you know, have babies with you, whatever. I would say, yeah.
Can I tell you what to say to the camera?
No.
Can I tell you what to say to
what?
The camera? Look in the camera.
You got
say,
a poem in your pocket?
No, I got to say. I gotta say right. Look in the camera and say, I'm not bitter, I'm better.
I'm definitely... Look, baby, I'm not bitter, I'm better.
Ooh! Yo, it happens.
But dead ass, even if it's not for him, I definitely know that I'm better from that situation and moving forward. Like, I don't have no animosity.
Y'all still cool?
Nah.
You don't like the new bitch.
Not really. No. It ain't even no new bitch. Look at this nigga right there.
Did you make a fake IG page to follow what he's doing?
No.
Did you watch his stories?
No. That nigga don't even have IG. And I love that about him. Now, not to say that
he has Facebook?
He's on IG. He's on there.
He has a fake page? Because
of his business. His business. What he do for his business. But he don't personally have one. And I love that shit. I don't want no niggas taking more fucking selfies than me. That shit is too much.
Look at the camera and say that.
Shut up.
Get off the gram.
Yeah, you know get off the gram and get to the money. But nah, seriously, that situation, if he were to come back really correct, I would probably give him another chance.
Do the right thing, bro.
I would. But other than that, you know, if it's not for him, then it's something better. And that's how I have to look at it. Cause I gotta
somebody
make
somebody for everybody.
Yeah.
So are you sure that you want him to hear the threesome poem?
Yeah.
Okay. End it with the threesome.
He wasn't.
Hey, threesome.
This threesome poem did not happen with anybody.
Okay.
No, I swear to God, it didn't happen with anybody.
Actually, now it could have happened, but it didn't. Is it means it happened with other people?
No, so I'm dead ass. It didn't.
It's a poem.
It's a poem. When you write.
It's a poem, bro. It's a poem, bro.
Right.
Make believe.
No, it's a poem. I promise.
It's a poem.
Okay. All right. Damn, you got me not wanting to say it.
It's a simile.
No, I swear to God, it's a poem. This did not happen.
Okay.
I was told to fuck y'all.
Okay.
All right.
Sip some drink.
All right. Now wait. Let me. Before I say that, y'all had no kids that watched A Drug Dealer's Dream, right?
Of course we don't. Unless
no,
grown.
We don't need to.
Oh yeah, that's real.
Right. Yeah, this real. All right, kids, cut out
we
the show.
Advisory.
This ain't for you.
We got an advisory warning.
Yeah, 17 and up, 18 and up, 21 and up. All right. She licking me while you fucking me. Pussy so wet while I feel an orgasm I've never felt before. Souls tie and true love doesn't die. It only grows stronger and stronger through strokes. An extra she is in our movie of love, but she played her part so well. Pushing the envelope of sexual freedom, pushing the envelope of love. Two souls, but really one. Riding up and down like Yeezy taught me, or maybe Bob Marley who loved the ladies. He flips me over, ass smacking and fulfilling my every desire. Love making, then fucking, then sucking, lasts forever. A bond unbroken for us. Doesn't matter what we do in the bed. Outside of our closed doors, nothing is said.
Snap it up. For some reason, I just feel like I need to spray this. Some reason. I don't know why. Some reason.
Yeah. Y'all mess.
What's your Instagram?
Yeah. Read the back of a card. Yeah, everything. Plug yourself. All right. Everything you got going on. All 18 books. All the poems. Everything. The man. All right.
Well, Simmons Law, Tiffany Simmons. For the law business, if you want one of the best lawyers ever to do it, follow us on Instagram at Official Simmons Law. If you want the plugs lawyer, sometimes I share some of my book stuff or, you know, just more about me. It's the plugs lawyer on Instagram. Our office number is 404-461-8422 if you need a lawyer. My next book that's coming out, like I said, is The Tatted Lawyer. We have The Plugs Lawyer 2 coming out as well. You can get those books on Amazon and Kindle. So go ahead and get those books. Let's make me a bestseller author as well, in addition to a best lawyer.
She's undefeated.
That's where you can find me. Yeah.
Do you wear your chain to court?
I don't, but okay. I used to be known as the lawyer that in Jordans, because I used to wear my Jordans to court. I'm dead ass.
That's hard. That's the next
one. You're trying to be comfortable.
That's the next
one. It started because I fractured my toe. And I was in a boot for a couple of months and then had to go to flat shoes. And then I moved between Fulton City Court, Fulton State Court, which is like a couple of blocks. And so that's where the comfort comes in. You know, by that time, I'm 10 years in the game now. People know that. I'm about my business. Besides my shoes, I come in there with a custom, you know, suit. My suits is $1,200 and up. I have my small earrings in, not the hoops. You know, like I look
very. So the lawyer is Jay, so you don't get sued instead of Jordans.
Yeah, so the lawyer and Jay.
That's the next book. That. The lawyer and Jay.
Yeah, I mean, look on the pictures. I mean, I'm very professional when I come into court.
Definitely, and you've been very professional during this interview.
Thanks for having us in your home. See your personality.
Thanks for cooking. Thanks for being vulnerable and strong at the same time.
I'm eating a plate and taking one to go. That is a fact.
Yes, man. Sunday dinner. Let's get it. And we got our drinks. Yes, drug dealer's dream. I'm happy to be on here because, like I say, you know what I saw growing up. Like I say, I am a drug dealer's dream. Who didn't want the pretty smart chick? You know?
There you go, y'all. Cut that shit out. Dreams.
Yeah, some of y'all still out here dreaming, man. You done turn this shit to a reality. You know what I mean? Y'all did get